En Cox estamos un paso adelante, como el muchacho que ya sabe la orden de tu cafecito incluso antes de pedirlo.
Hey, José, café con leche sin lactosa, un toque de vainilla templadito sin azúcar.
En Cox también nos adelantamos a lo que necesitas. Por eso el precio de tu plan no subirá por 3 años. Y nuestra seguridad avanzada protegerá tu red de amenazas antes de que pasen. Cox, un paso adelante. José, llamada de tu jefe en 3, 2, 1. Al menos 500 megabits por segundo de velocidad y Cox Unlimited Mobile. Impuestos y cargos no incluidos en garantía de precio. Velocidad de datos móviles reducida tras usar 20 gigas al mes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Selective Hearing. I am your host, Julie DeMar, and this week I'm here with very special guest, Nina Group. And Nina and I are going to discuss how you can find beauty in solitude.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here. So a few things about me. I am a writer. I am a mom of 4, which somehow I always end up leading with that. It seems really important to who I am because I think motherhood has been very transformational for me. I was in a 25-year marriage that was emotionally abusive, but I didn't understand at the time what emotional abuse was. I just knew that I had to learn to sort of walk on eggshells to navigate this relationship. And I taught my sons inadvertently to do the same thing. And we had a big codependent mess going on for a long time. I got divorced about 8 years ago. And since then, I've been on this sort of journey, for lack of a better term, of unlearning codependency and learning about who I really am, finding a new way to navigate life and my relationship to myself and others. So, and then a few years ago, I wrote a book and became a life coach. That's the nutshell version of me.
So the really beautiful thing about Nina, everyone, is during our pre-interview, she expressed to me how she found solitude to be a tool that helped birth self-awareness. And I loved that. And I love that so much because there is such a negative stigma attached to us embracing being alone. Oh, I'm lonely. I'm by myself. You know, I need someone. And in the process of trying to find that need, we overlook the person that we need the most, which is ourselves. And I love how you found yourself in solitude.
Thank you. I mean, I do think it's important maybe first to talk about like that difference between loneliness and solitude, because loneliness is a real thing that we know is like, there's a lot of research coming out about how the negative health impacts of loneliness. And so I'm definitely not advocating for being alone. Like, connectedness is so important. But I think what we easily overlook, like you were saying, in our quest to like maybe find a partner or like be super connected and busy, is we neglect that connection to ourselves and what that can give us. And I think we have better relationships with others when we have a better relationship with ourselves and listen to ourselves.
I agree with that so much. I actually wrote something to you when I was creating your package, and I wrote to you that there's so much beauty in stillness and solitude, and you are a living testimony to that.
That's so kind. Thank you.
And I wrote that because as you were speaking to me and we were talking about, you know, you being subjected to emotional abuse, you know, being a divorcee and trying to navigate those waters, you landed on this spot where you told me, and I would like you to share that with the audience, where you told me where you would go to have those moments to yourself and what was going on with you during that time. And everyone, the show is called Selective Hearing. And you know, I love us talking to ourselves. You know, I love having conversations with ourselves.
Yes.
So Nina, can you share those moments and those conversations with yourself and even like the revelations that were born during those moments?
Sure. So before the pandemic started, I started spending a lot of time in the woods and just hiking a lot. But then when the pandemic hit, my house felt so crowded. 3 of my boys were living with me, you know, full time. And it was It's just a lot of energy when people are trapped. And I found this rock in the middle of a creek near my house. And I started going there pretty much every day. And I would just sit on this rock and just listen to the water. Like, it was so peaceful just listening to the water. And, you know, this was March, so it was like cold, I think, and just kind of watching the woods wake up a little bit. And it let me settle down into my own heart and tune out. And especially at that time, right, there was just the news was so relentlessly terrifying. And you can only listen to difficult things. Like, you only have so much bandwidth for that. And I really found a lot of solace sitting on this rock and just listening to the water, watching the trees, and just being really quiet. And then over time, after I'd been doing that for probably 6 weeks or so, I had this idea, oh, what if I came to this rock every week for a year and just asked the woods and the creek, like, what they had to say to me, which sounds a little woo-woo or whatever. I feel like when we listen to the seasons or listen, you know, just notice what's around us, it does speak to us. I remember at that time, early in the pandemic, watching the woods change. I had this sense like, the world has seen terrible things before, but the seasons keep changing. Like, the woods wake up again, even though it's a pandemic. And it made me feel very hopeful that, like, what felt so dire and was so dire just wasn't going to be forever. You know, that's one thing I learned, being quiet in the woods. Yeah.
I reference seasons a lot in blogs and on this show because they're the most easy way to communicate how things are always going to change.
Yes. But when things feel really bad, it's easy to believe that they won't change. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So it does help to look at evidence that tells us otherwise.
Mm-hmm. They're a very beautiful physical representation of how consistent change will always be.
Yes.
And how we have to, one, acknowledge it and embrace it and just kind of move with it in our own time, you know?
Yes, absolutely. It's what we wouldn't want things to stay the same. There are some things we do want to stay the same, but we don't get to have that, you know? And you have to move on, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You said you had big energy in your house, and it made me think about my house because I got big energy in here too. 2-year-old and 5-year-old, big energy.
That is big energy.
And that is another like physical representation to me of change, like looking at my boys and looking at how yesterday and then looking at them today and how like there's small differences, but there's differences like and how they're just moving on. Every day that they wake up, they're just moving on. And I actually, even though it's hard for me sometimes because you're a mom, you're like, I just want to hold you like that again. Or I just, you know, like those moments have passed and now we're creating new ones. But there's just times where I even look at them and I'm like, wow, this is really cool to watch. I'm really, really fortunate to be a part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, little kids, especially because you see those changes, like you're talking about, like they happen so rapidly. I think that the way they always want to keep growing and like they want to do new things, they want to try, you know, they want to do it themselves, all that. Like, it's a great lesson for all of us that we should keep wanting to try new things. Like, why does that have to end when we're
kids?
I don't know when that, but it's like, it's really, getting stagnant is terrible. And I love the way they always want to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they kind of force you to move forward because you can't let them be by themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially in my house. My 2-year-old is something else. Oh my goodness. You leave him by himself, he might be on the roof.
No, you don't want to leave him by himself. Like, There'll be a mess for you to clean up.
Oh gosh, like silence is the scariest thing over here. He will, and I'm like, it's quiet. What happened? And then by the time you get there, it's too late. When you started like going into the woods and then you started spending more time there and you started listening to yourself, during that time, were you still married or was that after?
That was after.
That was after.
A few years after my divorce. It definitely took, I would say I was really in this like survival mode for a few years after my divorce. And also, you know, 4 kids is a lot of people to navigate through a traumatic divorce. And so it took a little time. But then when I finally, you know, was able to make this time for myself, it really let me notice, like not in like a shaming way toward myself, but like I really had not been tuned in to, or I had not allowed myself to feel my feelings about everything that had happened because there just wasn't time to feel them. And so sitting there, kind of staring at the water, just let me realize that it mattered how I felt about what had happened, and it mattered how it felt to me about where I was in that moment and what I wanted in the future. I feel a little ridiculous that I was like, you know, a grown woman with a 25-year marriage behind me and 4 kids. And I was finally able to say to my heart, like, oh, you really matter to me. I think I had spent my whole marriage my marriage was so painful that I had just locked all my feelings away. And, you know, kind of inadvertently told my heart, like, it doesn't matter how you feel. Like, you just got to keep going. It felt really important to reconnect to myself and say, my feelings actually do matter. And
we're here at Menards Bank Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned goods stuff,
shop vac supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
I'm going to pay attention to them from now on. It was a huge lesson for me. And it was the time alone that let me, you know, come to that realization.
Like I just told you about my little people. So I can't take like long moments alone.
Yes. Yep.
So I found that getting up before everyone.
Yep.
Like I literally wake up every morning right before everyone, even if I just sit on the edge of my bed or lay there in the darkness and in the quietness.
Yeah.
And I check in with myself. Yeah. And it's really quick, you know, like I do it before everybody starts moving. But even like doing those little things every day, I found that those things are so helpful. So I wake up and I, hey, how you doing? And just kind of run through everything.
Yeah.
And then get the ball rolling after that.
Absolutely. I have to do that to be able to be like a decent human. And when my kids were little, I always had to get up before them because I had to have those few minutes of being able to like be alone and think through my day and connect before I was so needed, you know. It just, I think it's really critical for being able to like be a kind human as a mom. Right.
Yeah. Especially because those morning moments, as I like to refer to them, they may be the only moments you get with yourself for the rest of the day.
Absolutely.
And like the day rolls on. And then by the time everybody goes to sleep, you're just like,
yeah.
So, yeah. So can you talk about, I know like, so from these beautiful moments with yourself, you've grown so much as a person. And then you said, hey, I'm going to help other people. So can you talk about your book and your coaching?
Sure. My book is essentially, it turned into 52 short essays that are almost like meditations in a way. Talk about nature. A lot of it is like me telling, you know, very short stories from my life and this learning process that I was going through about learning to listen to myself and feel my own feelings. and how that connected with what I was seeing in the seasons and hearing in the creek all around me, like while I was visiting. What people have told me is that when they read the book, they like to just read like one, it's like two pages at a time, do you know, one essay at a time. That's the first thing they do in the morning, is just that chance to like connect and ponder an idea about how might you connect with yourself today, in a sense, or how might you notice what's going on around you. It was a wonderful experience for me to write the book, and it's really like exciting when people relate to it. It resonates with people who have like dealt with grief or trauma in some way, or have come out of codependent relationships. It's helpful for people in those situations. The way it resonated with people helped me. I had already decided to become a coach before my book was finished, but definitely those two things came hand in hand. As I listened to myself, I realized like I can do this for other people. And the experience that I've had in changing my life since my divorce has shown me that, like, you know, your past really doesn't tell you a whole lot about your future. It definitely informs who you are, but you are free to keep making new choices and finding new ways and discovering what you love. Like, that doesn't ever, discovery, I think, goes on forever. And so it's really fun to connect with people in that way and help them find their way forward by listening to their hearts. So I love that about being a coach.
I'm going to circle back to something that you said to me during our pre-show, actually, because mm-hmm. I'm listening to you and I looked down at my notes from the pre-show and it just like jumped off the page. And you said that you love listening to people, but you're able to do that because you were able to hear yourself first.
Yeah. When I was married, my ex, he processed all of his thoughts and feelings out loud. And I mean, I don't even know that he was processing them. He was just constantly putting them out toward me, usually in an angry way, but I stopped having room to hear myself because it was like I had to hear him all the time. It was like I was expected to process his thoughts and feelings, or at least I had to cope with them. And so learning to listen to myself and like have that space and like settle into, there is value in listening and my heart has wisdom for me, is, I think, it definitely is the thing that made me excited about coaching. I think we each have like our own map inside of us, right? Like we need for our lives, we have the wisdom that we need for our lives, and we need to be quiet enough to hear our own voice and that map that's inside of us. Because I have been able to do that for myself. I wish I knew like the alchemy on that, but I feel like because I was able to do that for myself, I feel like it lets me tune in to others and hear with them for them, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I even answered your, I don't know if I addressed.
No, you did. It wasn't really a question, but like, yeah, you definitely kind of gave us a lot more insight on that. I always, during the pre-show, when you're talking, write down everything. And when I hear certain things that jump out, I star up. And I just look down at this big old star like, oh, yeah. And it tied into like what you were saying right before that. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to bring that up because that was actually something that it's like a very beautiful thing to lend yourself to other people.
It is. And I mean, we do, you know, in our best relationships, right? That's what we do for each other is, you know, sometimes we can hear for other people what they can't even begin to hear for themselves, maybe because they have a skewed perception of themselves. And so, you know, it's like if you're in a relationship with a person that you care about deeply, it lets you reflect back to them like, this is what I see, this is what I hear you saying. And I think that's such an amazing gift to be listened to. I think, what do we want more than that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To be seen and to be heard.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that if more people felt seen and heard, and they weren't, you know, so stuck in these feelings of like, I'm dismissed, we would have less people on earth that don't feel so like unworthy and that have Absolutely. All these other things going on that hold them back from even their gifts and their potential and what they have to lend to someone else to make humanity better.
100%. I absolutely think that. I mean, I think it's, I don't know, just even noticing strangers when we're out and about and being kind, like, mm-hmm. or saying hello, like all of those things that like elevate a person to like being more human is good for all of us. You know, why do people complain so much on social media or like spew political opinions? Like somehow they feel unheard, I guess. I don't know, you know, but if we, you know, could just find a way to listen better.
Mm-hmm. There's so many selective hearing like things that I can unpack in what you just said. Oh my gosh, like the talking to versus talking at, the, you know, oh gosh, the whole, like, even like how we were earlier in the show talking about embracing being alone versus being lonely. Like there's just, and I feel like we're on this, what's it like? It's called like pickleball, right? The pickleball court where the ball is just like, and we're going back and forth between the two, like where there's that fine line between the two, but they are very different. The line really like determines the difference between a negative and a positive vantage point.
It does. And it's, you know, like regarding loneliness, I think I've thought a lot about this, like being alone versus loneliness, because I've been in this process of dating for a few years. And it's interesting, like to feel all the feelings of like, I'm alone in this particular way and I don't want to be. I have to let myself feel the fact that I don't want to be alone in this way, because if I don't let myself feel that, then I won't even bother to look for a partner, because that's a horrific process. Like online dating is just a terrible, it's just terrible. but it can like lead you to what you want. And, you know, it's an opportunity to be open to possibilities, whatever. But at the same time that I like have to be honest with myself about what I want, I also can balance that with saying like, I am not actually alone. Like I have all of these relationships. I have my own self. There is so much love all around me, you know, and it's really hard to like stay in that tension of like, I do feel lonely in this way. I do have connectedness in lots of other ways, and not letting that one voice, you know, if we're talking about selective hearing, like that one voice that's like, that really wants to tell me like a terrible story, like you're alone, it's too late for you, you're never going to find somebody. Like I could listen to that obnoxious voice, or I can be like, no, it's okay, I'm okay, you know.
Can we talk about dating? Like, no, I didn't put it in the package, but can we talk about it for all of, you know, like it just, you saying that made me think about like all my girlfriends that are like single.
Yeah.
And they're like,
talk about it.
Like the, they say like the dating pool has pee in it, or they say like all these things. Like, and I'm like, okay. And like, I've even tried to be, but now I notice after getting chewed out once or twice, like just listen. So
we're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned good stuff,
shop vac supplies, toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at
Don't give advice, just listen, because like yeah, it's a sensitive subject for our listeners out there today. Yeah. Like, let's talk about it a little bit. And guys, I promise I'm handling this with care, okay? I always share like, hey, when you, this is the advice that gets me chewed out, but I say like, hey,
yeah, tell me.
When you reach a level within yourself where like you love yourself enough, you care for yourself enough, and you know exactly what it is that you want in a partner and what you deserve, I feel like you will eventually attract that. Because like when you're going out and dating and you're meeting these people and they're showing you like, okay, you don't really meet my requirements. And it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It's just, you know, like, are you going to hear me? Are you going to be supportive of me? Are you going to be a partner that I can depend on? You know, I take care of myself physically and emotionally and spiritually, but are you going to handle these things with the same care or that I do? Can you do that? Not try, but can you stand up and do that? So these are the kind of conversations that I have.
Yeah.
They don't go over well, but these are the kind of conversations that I have with my friends. So can I get like your perspective since you're actively dating?
Yeah.
And you've reached a level of self-awareness where you know what you will and will not tolerate. What's that like for you?
It has definitely been a long process of understanding, you know, what do I even want and what do I deserve? I would say my expectations going into the whole dating thing. I mean, it had been so long since I had dated. There wasn't online dating when I met my husband, you know? So it took a process of meeting people to understand, like, I need to be thinking I deserve more than this. You know, I think now I have a full understanding of like who I am, what I want, and what I won't be a part, like what does not interest me. Like I don't need a person coming at me with like this low level energy or whatever, you know, like I'm looking for a lot. I don't know that I ascribe to the idea that like you kind of like what you were saying of like, once you know yourself and know what you deserve, eventually you're going to attract that. I hope that's true. But what I do know is knowing who I am and knowing what I want, I know what I'm not going to compromise on. So like now that I feel settled about these things, I know that I don't have to enter into these relationships that don't match what I'm looking for. At the same time, I also know that like people enter into relationships for all kinds of reasons. And so like I understand when people kind of can't maintain their boundaries of like, This is what I deserve. But then people get lonely and they just like kind of let themselves connect with somebody who is maybe unworthy of them, if I can like put it like that. And I think even that is a learning process, right? Where like you get in a relationship like that and you're like, oh, right, I'm not actually doing this anymore. I want somebody who is worthy of my energy. I think that we want to think that we're going to get back the same energy we put out. And I think if we hold out for that, then that's more likely to happen. But I do think you might be waiting for some period of time that's uncomfortable.
I do agree with that. I think there will be a waiting process. And
and that's really, I think that that's the challenge for people, you know, and whatever, I think, especially with dating and like looking for it, I think that this is true, especially if you're looking for a genuine partner. Like if you're just looking to date and just meet people, that is easier, in my opinion. Like because you're not like, not that your standards are like lower, but they're just looser sort of like, I'm not expecting so much of this relationship. But like, if you are looking for like a partner to go forward with in life, that's a tall order maybe, and definitely requires both effort and waiting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and being brave enough to say no, like, you know, and being willing to be alone while you wait for the right thing to come along. Like, I feel like I've had this awareness for a while now for myself. Like, I don't want to get involved with somebody who it's clear it's not going to go the distance with, because then I'm not available to be involved with somebody who it could go the distance with. Earlier on when I was dating, that was different. I was just like, I just want to meet people. I'm just going to, you know, see what this is like. And it just is whatever, you know, I think our desires change, our needs change, our expectations change as we go through the process. But it's really hard to keep your heart open, like if you've been burned or if it's taking a really long time. It's really hard. Yeah. What other advice has gotten you in trouble with your girlfriends? Anything
that, else? That is the advice that it, like, oh, that one right there, I'm staying away from. That is definitely the advice. Like, we don't want to hear it. Not from you. And I'm like, okay. But like, I really like come in peace. I come in love. It's not judgmental. It's not anything of the sort. It's just like, I think that I have a very amazing group of friends, and they're all very beautiful women in their own way. And I feel like they all deserve someone that should honor that. And I don't like to hear stories about them being with anybody treating them any less, because it hurts my feelings as their friend, because I'm like, what I'm looking at is an amazing person.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, you know, that's the issue, right? Is we don't expect enough for ourselves. And as a friend, when you're looking at your friend who is not expecting enough out of their partner, that's hard to watch. It was hard for my friends, for some of my friends during my marriage, like the ones that I started to be honest with, it was definitely difficult for them to hear about what was going on, you know? And if your friends, you know, especially if they're just dating and they're not actually married, it's like, you want to say like, you deserve more than this, but you also can't be disrespectful if that's totally going to backfire.
Yeah.
You really can't, you know, it's that way of like inviting that, maybe asking questions about like, how do you feel when he does X?
Yeah.
Let them connect with it rather than you telling them like, no way.
And I that's why I'm a great show host. I am not in position to be a life coach, because I'm good at navigating through conversations and creating beautiful transitions and keeping like an open line of dialogue between parties. I am not good at doing that part. Like, I acknowledge, you know, whatever is going on, and I don't want to make it worse. So like, my thing is, if I'm not saying like, hey, you're amazing, because I also was a fixer for a long time. So I'm working on being anti-fixer.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm like, now I say things like, which I learned from my life coach, I don't know what to say, or I'm very sorry that happened to you.
Yes.
And I try to leave it there. And if the conversation changes directions or anything, I just go with it now. Versus, you know, reminding them how beautiful they are, how smart they are, how caring they are. Like, even though like they are, I told you they're amazing women. Like, but I used to be like, especially when I was like a young little chihuahua out here, like, do you want me to cuss them out? Like, girl, do you want, let's pull up. Like, now I'm much better, but like, oh yeah, I love my friends.
Yeah. And when you love people, it's hard to watch, you know, but I think like, to look at the idea of selective hearing, you know, when someone is in a relationship, a lot of times, even if you were to be really honest with them, like they wouldn't be able to hear it. And there were definitely times with a few of my friends where they tried to sort of like shine the light on what was going on and help me see reality. And I was just so convinced that for myself, not for other people, I was just so convinced for myself that like divorce was wrong and wasn't an option for me, that I could not hear anybody say anything about separating or divorcing. And so I had to come to that for myself, because a few people tried to talk to me, and it was just like, I could not hear that. We all, unfortunately, we all figure things out for ourselves. And I think that's what I love about life coaching, is it's, people have this idea that it's telling people what to do. And that's the exact opposite of what life coaching is. It is like, being present with people and helping them realize that they know what to do, but they just haven't been asking themselves the right questions or listening to themselves speaking. And that's what I think is so cool about it, is just like helping somebody in their own self-discovery process.
I've done traditional talk therapy and coaching, but I found for me coaching to be like more effective because of the questions that were being asked.
Yeah.
Like, and those questions, like there was questions that were being asked where I was like, whoa, I need a minute. I don't know. I do not know. Like, give me a second. Let me figure that out, because I never had stopped and asked myself that question before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never asked myself like, hey, Julie, who are you? Like, really, who are you? I never asked myself that question anymore. Like, I like before, I never asked myself, hey, how do you feel? Or how does that make you feel? How has that affected you? I never, like, it was always like talking about the things that happened to me, talking about, you know, like it was like almost like giving like a highlight reel of my life. This happened, that happened, that happened. But like actually like stopping and saying, okay, so when you were physically abused, how did that make you feel? Or when you were verbally abused, how did that make you feel? What happened when you were feeling like that? And I'll be like, whoa, wait a minute. That's exactly what would always be my response. Like,
yeah.
Whoa, give me a second. Yeah. I don't know.
I know. I mean, I think that's what's so cool about coaching, is that it really is just about questions. Mm-hmm. And I think helping people imagine, sometimes maybe even like taking it to the extreme of like, you know, what would be the best thing that you could do for yourself, or what would be the most important thing you could do for yourself this year to reach your goals or whatever, and removing, or if you had a magic wand, what would you change right now? Like things that let you think outside of what is possible or think in the most extreme manner can be really clarifying. I think we put these boxes around what we think is possible. That's really unfortunate, because so much more is possible than we think. Also, something I've noticed in my own life, which has, I feel like it's just changed dramatically. It changed with my divorce, but then it just keeps changing. And I just think we can take these small steps and they lead us so much further than we think a small step could lead us. And then that just leads to more.
So I have to ask you, if you could give any advice to the listeners, mm-hmm. what would that be? What would that one thing be today?
I did think about this. And I hope this doesn't sound too trite or like something that you've heard a million times before, except everyone definitely has. For me, and I think for, there's a lot of research to support this, like spending some time journaling, even if it's just a couple minutes when you can, is a process that can be transformational over time. Listening to yourself is really valuable and empowering. And I think sometimes like we feel like there's nobody to talk to about them, like, or even if you have a therapist, at least this is how it is for me and for a lot of people I know, like our brains just keep working and working on these issues or things that are disturbing to us or whatever it is. And it's like a hamster wheel that you can't get off of. If you spend some time writing these things down, and it actually can let you let go of them or process them, like move, you know, we don't have to let go of things until it's time to let go of them. But I do think we have to process our feelings and our experiences that are difficult. And if you won't listen to yourself, like why do we expect that of, like, not that other people shouldn't listen to us, but I think we have to do that work for ourselves too. And journaling lets us do that. And it lets us see the progression of what we've learned. I would say, let me refine it a little bit. So I'm a person who has like a spiritual practice. Like I believe in God. And so for me, I started this thing of sitting with my journal and asking God what he wanted to say to me. And then I would just write stuff down that like came into my head. That was a really difficult thing for me to do. It really has been transformational and helpful for me. But also I think a lot of people, you know, don't have a spiritual practice or don't believe in God. But what you can do is you can sit with yourself and talk to your heart and be like, heart, what do I need to hear? What am I ignoring? What do you want me to know? Because I think our hearts know things that we don't want to know in our heads sometimes. Just like making that space for your heart and saying, I want to hear you, and letting it speak and writing it down. I think wonderful things can happen when you do that. And it doesn't take, I mean, it could just be 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be a big deal. But if you keep track of that in a journal, I think what you'll find over time is like you are trying to deliver a message to yourself and you'll hear it after a while, you know?
I love my journal. I got a bunch of them and I go back and I read them.
It's really enlightening. And when I was married, I didn't keep a journal because I couldn't tell the truth. I knew, I was like, I can't even look at the things that I have to say. And I couldn't risk those things being found either. And so it just all stayed locked up. And being able to keep a journal and look back and see like, oh, this is really what life is trying to tell me. This is the message that is coming to me, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. One of my journals I'll share with you before I ask you the big show question. Okay. One of my journals that I kept for a year actually helped me write my first book.
I love that. How did it help you?
Because I journal all about my relationship with my negative inner dialogue and the nasty mean girl that lived in me.
Yes.
And I spent a year writing about her. I even gave her a name. Her name is Monica. And I wrote a book, basically, that are like Monica's monologues. And yeah, I just finished it a couple months ago. It's my first book.
Is it out?
No, I'm looking into publishing opportunities right now as we speak. So hopefully it will be out by spring.
All right. That's good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That sounds brilliant.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And of course, it's very dramatic because I come from writing movie scripts and TV shows and things like that. So it is a 5-act inner dialogue versus me, Monica versus me, and how I have in certain times of my life let her affect me throughout my day. And it's a nice little thing about negative self-talk, and I called it sink full of dishes.
That's fantastic. It's a really great idea.
Thank you. I can't wait for people to read it. I want to see. I sent it to like a couple people. I sent it to my coach, and one of the people that I sent it to was actually one of my friends, and she said, I threw it after 40 pages. And I was like, why did you throw it? She was like, because I feel like it was me. And she was like, I'll let you know when I finish it. And I was like, okay. All right. But when I got off the call, I was like, oh my gosh, that means it's good.
Yeah.
That means it's good. If you're triggered, I love you. Yeah. But if you're triggered, I'm waking up something inside of you that might Absolutely. Need to be addressed.
That's really exciting.
So I can't wait. I always say, like, if you watch one of my movies or if you read something and you get an emotional response from it, then that person did their job. So thank you. So, big show question. I have to ask you, what does selective hearing mean to you?
Well, it's funny that you shared what you just shared, because I think for me, selective hearing means like choosing to listen to the voices that are helpful. And those voices can be interior or exterior. You know, it's like, There's a lot of information that comes at us through the day that helpful. It's fear-based or whatever. It's not helpful to your, you know, growth or peace. but definitely that interior voice that tears you down or makes negative, you know, says negative things about you or makes negative predictions about your future. Like that voice needs to be told to be quiet. And, you know, it really takes some attention to be aware that you're even listening to that voice sometimes, I think. And that's why I think your book is going to be so helpful to people, because I don't think people know that, like, they can separate out that negative voice isn't them. It's just a voice, and it doesn't have to have all the power that we give to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree. And I used to give Monica way too much power.
Yeah. So that voice is power hungry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone told me before, oh gosh, one of my guests, that they call theirs Gremlin. And I just thought that was like,
that's hilarious.
Amazing.
Yeah. Because it really lets you, it gives a picture to like the negative implications or whatever.
So let the audience know how they can connect with you, how they can purchase your book, or reach out to you for any type of services or questions about services.
So I have a website. It's just my name, ninagroup.com. And I'm on Instagram. And that is stupidly, it's nina.g.group. That's my Instagram handle. Yeah. And my book is available on Amazon. The title is Creek Music. And that's how my website, there's a, you know, information about coaching, and there's a free introductory call that you can schedule to see if like we're a good match or whatever. So.
And all of that information will be listed in the show details. And also, again, everybody, I'm keep hammering this in your head, because I check the analytics and you guys ask for resources and I'm giving them to you and you guys aren't clicking away the way you should. So click, click, click the resource tab at selectivehearingshow.com and you will find a beautiful picture of Nina and a button that says Nina Group's website. And you can go directly to her and ask her any questions that you may have. So Nina, thank you.
Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you, and I'm very excited about your book.
Thank you. I'll make sure I send you a copy. I'll keep you updated on how things are going.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And everyone, until next week, this is Selective Hearing.
We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned goods stuff,
shop vac supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details. Save big.